You know, every one of them are fine projects, and we appreciate that. We appreciate that we have so many volunteers and staff members that work so hard on special projects. So we're glad to hear this tonight, to have you here tonight, and to tell us. This is an opportunity for us to learn more about some of the projects. We know something about many of them, but this is a great opportunity for us to learn more, and we appreciate that very much. We have a schedule, as you know. I hope you have a copy of the schedule. The first item has been taken off of the schedule for the purposes of this meeting tonight, so we'll just go on with the second item. I think we all recognize, certainly, that how important the 1 cent sales tax is to us, not only for projects such as yours, but, you know, for the city as a whole. It allows us to do things that we would not do, could not do, if we don't have that 1 cent sales tax. And this is a message that I'm saying this because this is a message that I think we all, you can help us get out as well. You know, we've done many things because of this 1 cent sales tax. And the good thing about it is that anyone spending money in Aiken County is helping us, because they're paying the 1 cent sales tax as well. So it's not just our citizens that are doing it, it's visitors to our city and what have you. So we hope that when it comes up, and it, you know, I'm sure you know as we do, that the county has to approve this before it's even officially a referendum, that we can even vote on it. And the other thing is, the school board is in the process of trying to determine what they want to do, vis-a-vis bond issue or whatever it may be for the school building. So that's up in the air, and I think we all probably know that. So what they do may well depend on what we do as far as the 1 cent sales tax, at least for this November. And but that's all in discussion, and it's, you know, it's been in the paper, and we'll just have to see what happens as we go forward. So again, thank you for the work that you've done, and we look forward to hearing all the comments and hopefully being able to help each of the projects as we can. And again, depending on what we get in the way of a 1 cent sales tax. So it's very important. Any help that you can give along the way, too, for other projects, like paving roads and things like that, because a lot of the money, if we do get it, will go for widening bypass, for instance, for paving roads, for doing some of those things that otherwise I don't know how in the world we'd ever do it, and we don't want to raise property taxes if we don't have to. So that's kind of the situation as I see it. Okay, we'll start now, turn it over to Roger and for his comments and his leadership here. And we'll start with the SPCA in just a couple of minutes, and then move right on down. If we can keep to the schedule, that would be great. And that way we can get out in a reasonable time. But we don't want to miss any good facts either as we go through. So, Roger?
Thank you. For Council's information, and I'm just going to give a little bit of history and then let you know where the path forward is. The first bond or referendum that was held concerning the local option sales tax, we sometimes refer to as the lost funds, was approved by the voters in 2000. And at that time, we had a listing of projects, and it primarily got started so that the Palmetto Parkway could be funded and built. That's the parkway that goes from Augusta up to I-20. In 2004, it came back to the voters, and this is very unusual because this is for 7 years. So assuming approval it takes place in the near future, we would start receiving funds probably around the latter part of 2012, and then go ahead and continue that until 2019. Well, the first time it only lasted for 4 years because additional funds came in more so than we had anticipated because of the growth that was occurring within the county and the inflationary factors. Last time we put more of an inflationary factor in there, and it appears instead of 7 years, it's going to get completed in 6 years. So we're still not absolutely sure how much funding we're going to get. I've been in constant discussion with the county and with North Augusta so that we could pin down what we feel will be the numbers that we should use for the total amount that the city of Aiken would have allotted to them. The other unknown is that during this past year, the legislation said that the 1 cent penny could not be on grocery sales. Now, it's hard to tell how much is from groceries within our community, and so we're trying to take an estimate of what that will be also. We should have a number developed within the next few weeks. What I would like hopefully to happen tonight is that this is a public informational meeting to receive information from those in the audience representing these projects. We will have a couple of public hearings in March. I would like to suggest that on March 15th, that would be basically a month from now, we'd be sitting down again. That's a Monday night, if it meets with your schedule. And we would then be able to look at all the projects that we talked about from the city and that you're going to hear tonight. You could add some if you needed to. We could take away from some. We could adjust the numbers. But on the 15th, I would hope to be able to give you a number for those that we feel are ones that we heard tonight that you, I'll be hearing from many of you, I'm sure, and from the city projects, that then you will go ahead and put on the next meeting in March, which is 22nd, and actually vote on it. So you'll have an opportunity on the 15th for citizens to express their feelings about these projects. You'll also have the 22nd before the vote, and then the vote would take place on the 22nd of March unless council felt like they needed additional time to even discuss it further. You heard about all the projects the city has presented to you, anywhere from public safety projects to parks and recreation to public works projects. And then we have within the allotted amount 30% of the total for major transportation projects. This was what was agreed upon by City Council a couple years ago along with North Augusta and Aiken County. So the goal would be that on the 15th of March to have a proposed listing for you and for the council to then debate that and to come up with a final listing for the 22nd of March. With that, as the mayor said, we do have a number of folks that are here. The first group was going to represent the Railroad Depot project. And I think it's only fair to let you know why they are not here. We had a lengthy discussion last Wednesday with Aiken Corporation and then this morning with Tim Simmons, who is heading up the Depot project, and Wade Brody. The depot and the project surrounding it are in various phases. The first phase is the depot itself. The depot itself will be completed sometime late spring or summer. The city at that time will be moving in with the tourism office that they have, which is now located Odell Weeks. The second phase was the funding that they were going to be coming to you tonight, asking for $1 million to fund phase two. Phase two would consist of a deck between the railroad cars and the depot, would consist of a baggage facility. That baggage facility would have outdoor restrooms for larger crowds and would also have a catering kitchen. It would also include the interior finishing of the railroad cars and then a platform that would be between the actual railroad tracks and Union Street. Originally, they were coming to you for $1 million for that phase. We had a lot of discussion last week that maybe $1 million was too much money. They also then were seeking out a loan from the federal government through the Aiken Electric Co-op. We found out last Thursday that loan could not be made for paying off an existing loan, but only could be used for future work. At that meeting we had last week, we also discussed the fact that the city of Aiken, once we take over the depot project, it might be better for us to fund that, the rest of the work, this phase two work, over a several year period, just similar to what we did at Hopelands and Rye Patch and several other projects we've had in the past. For that reason, the Railroad Depot group felt now is not the time. They're going to go ahead and concentrate on getting the funding through the county and the once on sales tax. And so they are not planning on coming back to City Council asking for any funding at this point in time through the local option sales tax or TIF funds. So is there any questions on that? This is a little bit of a change, and it's last minute, but after our discussion last week and today, they felt it would be best not to go ahead and to let the other projects stand on their own. The second project we have is a very, they're all good projects. This one we're a little bit more personally involved in, and that the City of Aiken has been, for at least the last 20-some years, been working with the SPCA and using the SPCA as the animal shelter for all of our animals within our community. We've been in the same building for several decades. There's a main building, and then to the right there's a smaller out parcel that we have our animals in. And the SPCA is here tonight to talk to you about their new shelter, which they have presented to you in the past, and they are asking that the City of Aiken would contribute towards that based on the number of animals that we've been bringing in on a regular basis historically and through the spay-neuter program. So with that, I'm not too sure who is going to get up here. It looks like Mr. White is going to come up and represent the SPCA.
My name is Bob White. I live at 435 Orangeburg Southeast in the Horse District, and I'm a member of the SPCA Board of Trustees. Our presentation is going to be in two parts. Mine is very short. It gives you a little background extending on what Roger said, and the balance of it will be a presentation on the facility itself, our new facility. From where Roger left off, we've actually had a contract with the City of Aiken, the SPCA, for 21 years. During that course of time, we have charged the City of Aiken a fee for bringing animals to our facility. And you should know that that fee over the period of 21 years started at $6 a day per animal. And our new contract with the City of Aiken for 2010 is at $10 a day. Now, our budget has gone up dramatically during that time because we've taken in a lot more animals. And our budget started way back at the beginning at about $15,000, and last year it was approximately $56,000, the money being many more pets in our facility that were brought in by the city. 64% of our population of animals in the facility are either picked up as strays in the city or somehow city-related. We started a spay-neuter program with the city, led by Roger and Barbara Nelson. Started in 2005, and the city funded a special spay-neuter chip that was given to people that were not able to afford having this done, and it turned out to be very successful. The real success of it is not the number of animals that we've handled from the city, which we've done a very good job on, but the fact is, after 2 years, the county joined us, and that was a major move for us, for the city, and particularly for the animals. We now have completed over 900 spay-neuters, and we're going on. It happens to be one of the driving forces behind why we're going to the new facility, and you'll understand that when you hear from Barbara, but the spay-neuter program is the only proven way to handle the pet problem. And the overpopulation of pets is a serious problem, particularly out in the county. And in this part of the country, it's serious. And there, up north, it's quite common now not to have a animal problem. The spay-neuter programs up in the north are very, very efficient. We actually ship animals north from here because they're out of animals in the north. So the programs do work. We're starting to see an effect in the city because the number of animals we're taking in is pretty well leveled off. We're up in the 900 range. And that's a very good indication that we're on top of it. I think the cats were a little behind on, but all in, all done, we're doing a pretty decent job of controlling them. The most interesting thing that has happened in our relationship with the city is that on our land that we bought for the new facility, we jointly joined hands and put up, as you know, a new dog park. And that in 2 months, we've had over 300 people take out the permits to bring their dogs to the dog park. Looks like it's going to be a success. And it's probably one of the first in the country where a municipality and a charitable organization like the SPCA has joined forces. And we do it well. And what we provide in most of these situations is the labor and take the city out of the management of dogs and this kind of facility. Our people do that, either our employed people or our volunteers. There are three things that drive us, and Barbara will get into it, in leaving the facility on Wire Road. We've been there a long time, and it's served us well, and it's served everyone well. But the bottom line is, we have as an objective to take our spay-neuter program from where it is now, which is very successful for the size. We're doing about 2,500 a year. We have an objective to take that to 12,000. And to go beyond the region. We have a commitment, the people on the board, to handle the animal problem, and it's a serious problem, and we're not going to just stay local with that. The second thing is we have a commitment to increase our adoptions of pets, and we seem to be doing that pretty well. And if the facility increases, indications are we should double our adoption rates very shortly after putting up the new facility. But perhaps the most important thing to a lot of us on the board is that this will give us an opportunity in the area of education. We're really strong on bringing kids in and families and training. And that turns out in some facilities to be a very, very positive influence on caring of pets and abuse of pets citywide and countywide. And so the education program will have a specific facility for that will be covered. The net of it is, we started a capital funding program privately. We're going to ask the city to share in their fair share in the cost of putting up this facility. And the net is we project, if they're using the facility as we currently are, the city will probably use about 40% of our space in the new facility. And we're asking you to contribute approximately 20% of our capital cost. And the areas that the city has needs are, obviously you need sufficient kennel space for the dogs and the cats. Surprisingly, we also need space for large animals. You know, we house horses and whatever you can imagine that comes along. You need a space because we are a non-euthanizing facility now. The city needs a facility for euthanizing, and we don't do much of that anymore. But the fact is, there are pets that are unadoptable or for one reason or another have to be euthanized, that we will provide for that in our new facility. And you need an exam area and some storage space. And I think what you should understand is that the SPCA provides all of the administration, all of the oversight, and we interact with the citizens of the city on behalf of the pets that we take from you. You know, so we're representing you when people come to the come to our facility, and we're quite proud of the staff we have and the people we have doing it, and it's a very positive experience to come to the Aiken SPCA. We expect the new facility to be a landmark, and I think, we're not sure, but we think it'll be the first time a city and the SPCA has actually gone together in, or second?
2 minutes.
In 2 minutes, okay. The second to do that. Okay, we're done. Barbara will tell you what where we're taking this from there. Thank you.
Good evening. My purpose here is to show you what you'll be hopefully buying into. The facility, as Bob mentioned, is very, very old, and particularly the city annex, which is where the intake animals come into, is built in 1955. Bob has pretty much gone through the core missions of the SPCA. It's adoption and rescue, spay and neuter. The SPCA, with the help of the city, and now with the help of the county, and also a new program with North Augusta, we have now, within the region that we service, which is quite wide, there is no reason not to have your animals spayed and neutered, because it's affordable and it is accessible. Education and training is particularly important. We have the pet therapy program. We have a humane and character education programs in the Aiken County Schools. It's an actual curriculum in the Aiken County Schools. That was done at the behest of Dr. Judy Miller and Linda Eldridge when she was the superintendent of schools. Very popular program with the teachers. In the new facility, we would be able to have, we hope, a pet protective custody program. That would be a partnership with the Sheriff's Department and with Aiken Public Safety in North Augusta. We would also be able to mentor children that are interested in the life sciences through our spay-neuter programs and through the clinic that was especially built so that when tours are there, they can actually see the surgeries take place. So a lot, number of programs that we'll be utilizing that education and training center for. And all of this that we do is done with a balanced budget and no debt. The partnership with the City of Aiken, as Bob mentioned, is the housing, care, and the medical attention for the animals picked up by the officers. Dogs are constantly and cats are constantly strays on the street. They're brought into the city annex. They are evaluated for adoption and then brought up to our adoption facility, which is no kill. There are many a happy family there because of the fact that the city has this partnership with the city of, with the SPCA. There are many places in this country where that partnership does not exist and the animals are simply euthanized after 5 days. Residents of the city of Aiken can be assured if they have an adoptable animal, it is in a no-kill facility. We have pet fairs as a partnership with the city of Aiken. This was a very important project we took on with public safety, and the objective was to reduce our future costs to the city through increased return to owner. The animals are microchipped. The animal control officer scans them, picks them up, calls the person. They go right back. They never go through the facility. It's reduced unwanted litters, and it's especially given an awareness of responsible pet ownership. It really is quite a sight to see when you have 200 people coming into these pet fairs. And some of these people you wouldn't expect would even care about an animal, and it really brings tears to your eyes sometimes to see you know, the tough road these people have economically, and then how they can come here and we can give them their services at an incredibly reduced rate or free. Our partnership with the City of Aiken is a little tough to see, but this is a new splash pool at the dog park. The dog park has been very, very successful. People are even there when there's ice on the pool in the dog park. Okay, old versus new. The old facility, the two slides at the top, the adoption, the spay neuter, and the medical clinic in that main building are one and the same. It makes it very difficult to run a business like that. Animal control, this is the intake areas, the building on the right. Within those chain link fences sometimes you can see a horse, a goat, an emu, a pig, a little of everything. And believe me, they all come through public safety, animal control into the city annex, as we call it. The new facility is pictured on the bottom, and the animal control area is off to the left and then in the back parts of the building. Education on the right with that first gabled roof. The adoption center in the middle with the bell tower and the spay-neuter clinic stands by itself on the left-hand side. It will be have solar panels, and it will have a geothermal loop for the HVAC system. Old versus new again. This is the city annex on the left, built in 1955. It is loud. It is noisy. It is very difficult for the animals that come in off the street to be in this facility for their 5 to 10 days. It is not a good way for them to start. In the new building, it is built with the latest in animal care technology. The animals never look at each other, so it's very quiet. You don't hear, there's not a lot of noise, and they have ample room to just walk right outside and exercise. This starts them off the right. This makes them good citizens right from the start, and then they can move on to the adoption floor with a good solid foundation. Taking an animal into that building on the left, and if they started out as being a nice dog, they go in there and they're very afraid and very fearful. The adoption area for the dogs. Right now, on the left is where the animals, it's a typical adoption wing. It's your typical chain link fence. Dogs are looking at each other. It's noisy. We lose adoptions because people walk through there. Dogs are all barking at them. A little bit of odor, even though we've tried everything to get it out of there. That will change at the new center, where you can see that the animals are in rooms, much more, friendly for them. You can walk right in and spend some time with them. They have their own furniture. It is not noisy. And they have exercise areas that are directly associated with that. They can take them outside. There is very strong construction materials. It will last easily 50 to 60 years. Those rooms are built with concrete, glazed tile. Structural glazed product that costs a little bit more money to do, but it's worth it because in 10 years you don't have to rebuild it again. Cat problem here. This is cat holding. This is what you're looking on the left is cat holding. Quite honestly, it's pretty dismal. Cat holding in the new facility. All the animals, it's because it's an animal-centric building, have views to the outside. So that light robin's egg blue you see is actually the outdoors. Cats are here just like dogs for 5 to 10 days. Then they're brought up to the adoption center, or they're kept longer because of their medical needs. And cats are very susceptible to respiratory diseases. But you can see the vast difference between what we're dealing with right now on the left-hand side and what we're going to on the right-hand side. With the adoption center, the cats right now are in one little room at the Aiken SPCA, and then they're also in the reception area. And, of course, the reception area is where we have people coming in to bring their animals for spay-neuter and do a lot of, you know, a number of different things, including talk about returning their, getting their animals returned after they've been picked up by animal control. The cats will move from those little tiny cramped cages into cat colonies or mini colonies. This is an example of what the cat colony will look like. And those cats actually have access to outdoor porches. This is the floor plan of the new SPCA. It's 20,000 square feet. The spay-neuter clinic, which is only doing 2,500 surgeries right now, and I say only even though that's a vast amount, we anticipate in 1 year we'll be able to do and have demand for easily 6,000 surgeries. And there will be a truck that goes 50 miles in each direction, picking up animals one day, spaying and neutering them, bringing back to wherever they were picked up from, whether it's a municipality, whether it's a rescue group, another shelter, whatever, the next day, so they stay overnight. You can see it's an animal-centric design. The lavender areas on the top are the holding areas where City of Aiken animal control animals would be brought into when this for the dogs. And then the dogs graduate into the adoption center here, where they're in those rooms. The whole core of the area here is all of the backup and the utility, not the utilities, but the grooming stations, the feeding, the everything that it takes to operate this facility. Spay-neuter clinic here, cat holding for the City of Aiken, cats that come in, medical clinic to treat them, and then down here is the cat area on the bottom here, wherever that laser is. And then the light blue, robin's egg blue on the lower right is the education and training center. And it's rightly it's closely associated with a parking lot. Buses can just drive up, leave the children or anybody else, senior citizens. We get a lot of retirement home tours, even at the old facility. And they will come into that education area and then move throughout the facility for their tour. This is the front door of the Aiken SPCA. It will become a community destination. It is friendly, it's animal-centric, odorless, quiet, and disease-resistant. And Bob and I will be happy to answer any of your questions.
And Bob, what's the total cost?
The total cost of this project is $4.5 million. FFE adds up to another $443,000. So it's pretty close to a $5 million project. FFE meaning the fixtures, furnishings, equipment. Much of that we'll be able to pay for with grants. because we've associated ourselves with the Humane Alliance in Asheville, North Carolina, which does 20,000 spay neuters a year. They have taken us on as a partner. It's very difficult to become a partner of theirs, and they will help you with the grants, with acquiring the veterinarians, a number of different things. So we anticipate the FFEs, that cost, much of it be paid for with grants, certainly not all of it, but as much as we possibly can.
One other question I had, and then I'll be quiet. Bob, you mentioned, and I didn't catch it, the adoption percentage. What percent of the animals, how do you determine this, but what percent of the animals do you are adopted that come in that are adoptable?
That all the animals that come into our facility, about half of them are able to make it up into the main area. They are, and what I'm, a lot of the animals that come into the facility, for example, are rabbits, raccoons, and feral cats. So they never make it up to the main building. Once an animal makes it into the main building, it's no kill. So they stay there forever. But the animals that come through the city annex, Gary would probably give us a better percentage, but you know, most of them are brought up into the main building. Most of them are.
About 65% of our animals come from the city.
Right, 65% come from the city, but what the mayor is asking is how many are actually brought up for adoption and successfully adopted. I'd say the majority of them are, right? Right. And the ones that aren't are the feral cats, which are unadoptable for most cases, raccoons. There's a lot that comes through there.
So that's working very well, the adoptability.
Yes.
I was with a couple last night that adopted a dog. They were very happy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
It was in there 1 hour, I think. they had already put in their order in case a certain dog
they were on the waiting
in,
list.
Species.
Yeah.
And it was there 1 hour.
Good. Great.
So I was just wondering, does that seem to be that you're... I still didn't get the percent, I don't think, but... How many of them are actually adopted?
Of the ones that come in?
Yes, those ones that go that are adoptable.
Of the ones that are adoptable, all of them, I'd say 90% at least.
Okay.
During the kitten breeding season where we may not have space, we try to hide temporarily, foster homes, whatever we can, to bring up every adoptable animal.
Let me give you a number. About 1,400 animals total were brought into the facility last year. 64% of those were originated in the city of Aiken, and then another 30% originated in Aiken County, and then others were brought in beyond that. Of the 1,400, about 800 of those animals were saved. They were either adopted out, or they were transferred, or they were returned to their owner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Saw something in the paper the other day about some more transfers being made up north, and you mentioned that, Bob, I think, alluded to the taking up north.
And, we have an agreement with North Shore Animal Clinic or Animal Shelter, and we sometimes send animals up there. What you may have read in the paper is that the county shelter has now modeled that program, and they have a very good arrangement with a shelter in Salem, Massachusetts. I believe it's called North.
Good.
I forget what it's called, but they send animals up there, so the county's trying to.
Okay. Very good.
I have two questions,
yes.
Mayor. The transfers of the animals, are these animals going for adoption of families, wherever you're transferring them?
Yes. When they're transferred, they're transferred up to another no-kill animal shelter.
Okay.
And they are adopted, yes.
The second question is, you mentioned that there's 20,000 square feet of your building, 12,000 for surgery. Is that included with the 20,000? Are we talking about 32,000 square feet, or just 20,000 total in the building?
There's 20,000 total in the building. The spay and neuter clinic is about 2,500 square feet.
Okay.
That's the light green area there.
Okay.
So it's a 20,000 square foot, as you see colored. That's 20,000 square feet.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. The next project we have then is with the University of South Carolina at Aiken. Just a little bit of background on this. In the 2004 referendum that went before the voters, the city of Aiken gave the university $745,000 towards the Convocation Center project. Now, it didn't go into the center itself, but this helped to create some of the parking, the roadway work that was there, some of the driveways, and some of the landscaping. They are now, obviously, the Convocation Center is completed, and they're concerned about a very real safety issue of getting the students from housing that's within the city of Aiken. So those houses that you see there, or housing that you see, there's about 1,000 units, and all the units that are on the campus are in the city of Aiken. So those are all city residents that are trying to get back and forth. With that, I think Chancellor Hallman's here.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, members of council, Mr. City Manager. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm Tom Hallman. I'm the Chancellor at the University of South Carolina, Aiken. And I'm proud that you began with that summary, because I would have. I very much appreciate the support we received from the city for the Convocation Center. I think by any measure, the Convocation Center has been a great addition to our community and has a great deal more to contribute in the years to come. When we first began talking about the Convocation Center, we included a walkway across the highway. The reality was that before we got the money to build it, we no longer had the money for a walkway if we were going to get the building constructed. So we lost that along the way. As we continue to develop the west side of the campus, all of that property across the Robert Bell Parkway from the original campus, we're going to see more and more traffic. We already have the Convocation Center, the baseball field. I hope that you've had a chance to take a look at the Pacer Path, the cross-country path that's just been developed. We have plans. Mike Jarrett sitting out there, he knows more about intramural disc golf than I do, but that's the place for it, is across the way. Plus, as we get the money, we're going to be relocating all of our athletic complex across the road and recapturing that space on the original campus for facilities and parking and other activities on the campus. I don't think it would come as a surprise to see that there are safety issues with people trying to cross the road, particularly at night. excuse me, the speed limit through there, we've been very fortunate in getting some signs to lower the speed limit when people are in the road. We have our own support equipment that crosses the road on a regular basis, making it dangerous. And then whenever there's overflow parking in the Convocation Center, we have people that park on the campus and cross the road back to the Convocation Center, which, as you can imagine, is a frightening prospect, again, at night. We believe that the advantages of the bridge sort of speak for themselves, getting folks off the road, that overflow parking connectivity. As our maintenance workers cross back and forth, this would give them a way to do it aside from crossing the highway itself. In building the bridge, we would have to take into consideration how that parkway eventually may be increased in size, so we have to build a bridge that will cover the anticipated uses of that, and it would allow us to manage the facility better. It's always a struggle to follow an artist, and I'm just going to say most of that dark green stuff is the trees. I'm sure Barbara would say exactly what shade of green that is. The light green shows the development that's already in place. And you can see the Convocation Center, the Robert Bell Park, the Roberto Hernandez baseball field, the Pacer Path is generally in this area. And pretty much the rest of our athletic fields will go in this area. This does not portray all of our property. It goes off to the left all the way to the power line right away between Gregg Highway and Trolley Line Road. To get a little closer in, there's a view of where the pedestrian bridge would cross the highway as we portray it right now. Wait a minute. Here's the Pig and Sally House back here. Here is Pacer Crossings, the student housing complex. So if you're familiar with that area, you can see that there's a hill, you're aware that there's a hill here that allows us to get pretty close to on-grade access to the bridge and take it across the road at a place where it would join up with the other side. Here's a little bit closer rendition of that. I was talking about the on-grade access. You can see the limited number of ramp feet that we have to have on the campus side as compared with this slalom course on the far side to get it to grade level. Here's a little different rendering than you saw in the earlier slide. One of the things that we've come to appreciate as we look at campus land use planning is that whereas the front entrance of our campus has always been off of University Park there, Parkway, right there in front of the hospital, as the Robert Bell Parkway continues to develop, a major entrance, if not the major entrance of the campus, is going to be from that side of the road. We believe that the pedestrian bridge that we're talking about here would enable anybody passing by to know that they're at the University of South Carolina Aiken without any doubt, in addition to all the safety reasons and convenience and efficiency reasons that we've already talked about. It would be the end points, end caps would be constructed out of our university brick with the university logo, and there's another version looking back at from the Pick and Sally House, effectively over that way. If anybody's interested, in the cost of it, we figure is right at $1 million. While I would certainly like to have 100% of that money, you should be assured that we're asking other entities to help us support this. If I could get as much as half of this cost, it would put me in a position to build this facility. Anything more than that you wanted to give would certainly go toward the good cause. I'd be happy to answer any questions anybody might have about the project.
Dr. Holman, how are you? Are there any teaching or classroom facilities over in the Convocation Center that would warrant students walking over now?
There are not. As a matter of fact, we, in the original design of the Convocation Center, we were hoping to build some of that in the building that we were ultimately able to afford. We were not able to include any classroom spaces.
With the bridge design, is it scheme A or B or C? Which?
Right.
Okay.
And we have a design person working on that to help us make that determination where the cost efficiencies are in any of those.
I came from a community that had a similar issue, and the bridge worked very well in bridging the main campus to the athletic complex.
Thank you.
Dr. Holman, does all of your costs now to make it look like your renderings, all the trees and all of that, are included in your landscaping so we... when we get through, we got the green creation and all, or is that coming later?
Let me be sure that before I answer that, Mike, how much of that is included?
Well, as much help as you're able to give us, we'd like to make it look very nice. But for right now, the infrastructure cost in that $1 million does not include a lot of that landscaping and some of the sidewalk.
Second question, Dr. Holman, is as you already said, you're pursuing other grants, and are there some good possibilities for other grants and other monies to come into this project?
There are very good prospects for that. We have a verbal commitment right now, and we expect that to be formalized for a significant chunk.
Thank you.
Is any concerns with the Highway Department, DOT, about this? I know there's got to be some kind of permitting or something.
Given where we can launch it from our side, there are a lot of concerns because we cross under a power line right-of-way and over a high-pressure gas right-of-way. But given where we can launch on our side, we believe that we can avoid most of those concerns completely. And then it's a matter of getting it across the road and getting it back down to grade level. I think we can work with the Highway Department very effectively on how high it needs to be for their highest and best use that could be anticipated.
Any other questions? Comments?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
The third party before us tonight is the YMCA. Most of you know that the YMCA has been operating here in Aiken for some time. They are getting ready to build a standalone facility. And one of the things that we have been working on, when I say we, I'm talking about Glenn Parker and the Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department, is a master plan was completed approximately 1 year ago. Within that master plan, it identified the need in our community for an indoor swimming pool area. It identified the need for additional recreational space, particularly on the north side of Aiken. So we've been discussing with the YMCA about the possibility, if we did not build a facility in the city of Aiken, for those, especially on the north side, but those that would like to see an aquatic-type program, how could we partner with the YMCA, similar with the partnership that we have with the ASPCA for the last number of years. So tonight we have Danny McConnell, who is here to go ahead and talk about the future YMCA here in our community.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I am the president of a group of YMCAs that includes the property we're operating out of Hitchcock right now in partnership with that group, and there's about 10 branches around the CSRA. But I am here tonight to talk to you specifically about funding an indoor pool together. There's a lot of reasons we could talk about. It's how important it is to have an indoor pool in a community. I'm going to hit on three or four of those, the most important of which, though, I believe, if you'll help us to build this pool, that we're going to save some drownings that might occur in this community. And to touch on that just a minute, there's a couple of statistics I'd like to start with. You'll see on the screen, first of all, that if you're 10 years old, car accidents are the only things that cause more deaths than drowning. If you're 4, drowning is the leading cause of unintentional injury death. It's fun for us to think about as an organization why it's enjoyable to have a recreational pool, but it's much more important us to think about building a pool whose focus is about water safety. I'd like to do a quick handshake. People in this room at some point have had help along the way. Somebody taught them how to swim when they were younger. How many people had somebody help them? Just about everybody did. But my question to all of you would be, who's helping the children across the board in this county learn how to swim? That's the role that the YMCA does pretty well. I'll start by telling you that at the Y, we believe that all children should learn to swim, or at least be taught enough water safety they can keep themselves afloat until help arrives. We did a little research and found out in the last 24 months there's been 17 stories covered by the standard, the Aiken standard, of either near misses or drownings that's occurred in the CSRA. So it's happening right here in our backyard. A couple things we did in 2009 to kind of test the waters with this. In the Hitchcock facility, in the pool that we're operating right now in partnership with them, we ran two programs last year. The first of them was with 15 kids that came from Gloverdale Elementary. These were children that had no skills of being able to swim when they came to us. We had them for about 2 weeks, and by the time that group left, all the kids could swim across the pool. We then tested it with a larger group. It took about 150 kids that were referred by Christ Central Mission, Reeds Branch Church, the Imani Group, and you'll see the Police Athletic League helped us. The funding for that program came through some fundraising that we did and a grant that Clemson Youth Development Academy. And the goal of this program, the joint program, was not only to teach at-risk kids to swim, but also to inspire some of those to become lifeguards and water safety instructors. Several of the high school kids who completed the program returned to help the younger children. Some of these children are now regularly involved with the Y. We're proud of that. And we expect them to progress and become lifeguards. So both of those trial runs last year were a good start. However, having said that, you'll see there's a list of partners that we're already involved with in this community, and both those two programs I just mentioned and some other things we're doing here already. And there's some benefits to this city in helping us to build this pool that are somewhat obvious. First of all, we believe that we can help you save a lot of money on the construction side of this on the front end. If you would help us through a $1 million investment, we're going to then go to the county, and I've already done so, ask them to get us on the lost list as well. And we're going to ask them for $1 million, and that $2 million, if you've ever ran numbers on building an indoor pool, that will not cover the cost to build that. Having said that, you probably also know we're about to make a large capital investment in this community, about $9 million down on Trolley Line Road. That's going to be both the facility that's about to be built and the land that's been donated. So that is underway, and we can talk some more about that in just a minute. In addition to that, if you'll invest that money, you'll find that we're going to take on all the maintenance costs once built. So it'll never cost the city or county another penny to help us build that. The operations, we'll take on the operational expenses and, of course, the staffing that goes along with that. Those are staff that we will put in place. The Aiken County Family-Wise Indoor Pool will serve as a center for training and certification of water safety instructors and lifeguards for just about anybody operating a pool around this community. We know there's a need there. If you ever had to each summer look for where the lifeguards come from to kind of take care of those pools, we feel like we can help fulfill that need. We partner pretty well with the Red Cross to provide the certification courses. We would see ourselves doing that with the Red Cross here in Aiken. There's some vision for where this pool would go. A couple of things I'll share. First and foremost, that we would like to see every child in Aiken County, once the pool was built, to go through that pool at some time during the school year. We did it with fifth graders. That's a pretty good trial run. So, for example, that every fifth grader in Aiken County would go through the swimming program for 2 weeks, and by the end of that program would be able to survive if they ever got into a dangerous situation. You could also see that we can improve greatly the health of this community. We're already doing that quite a bit. We think we can make a greater impact on that if we could build this pool together. There's many people beyond just children that need to learn how to swim in this community. We certainly believe that we will teach all ages inside that pool that would like to take swim lessons with us. We've already touched on the water safety classes that we're pretty good at and would run year-round out of that facility. And we certainly believe it will become a practice location for a couple of the high schools that are having to use the outdoor facility now. I'm sure they would like to get out of that cold pool into not only a nicer environment, but a year-round facility that would be there as there for them to develop. Let me just show you a little bit of our plans on this new Aiken Y and how this pool would fit into it. Over the left-hand side, that drawing shows you a 40,000-square-foot facility that is about to be built here. The little shaded area that's not very good there, down there on the right, is an outdoor water complex that's going to be part of that development. And all that's phase one. The next slide, just the two dark and brown areas there, show you the bottom one is where that indoor pool would fit onto the complex. I'll tell you, that's a 32-acre site. And you'll see that with the investment that's already being made there, the $2 million we talked about that we would ask, $1 million from here and one from the county, with additional things we're already building. We're going to build a parking lot. We're going to build maintenance facilities. We're going to build all the other infrastructure that would be locker rooms and so forth necessary to support that indoor pool. So the investment, we feel like we can kind of get $3 on every dollar you've invested with us. The next slide just gives you a look at one of the models that we've looked at to build. And then the next slide just really talks about what we feel like we can do and why we need to do this together. Because for the Y, what we try to do in each community is just to build strong kids and to build strong families and to build a stronger community. So that's our request for you today, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have about how we could do this together.
Danny, are you able to, are you at liberty to say where the proposed site will go for this facility?
I am. We have 32 acres that have been donated to the Family Y. That location, if you now go to the USC Aiken and turn down Trolley Line Road, we're 0.8 miles down Trolley Line, and you can't miss us because we're already on development with the site work. There's 13 and a half acres that's been cleared there already, so take time and drive down that way. We're underway. 32 acres, as you would expect, will give us long-term development plans. We can, that Wheeler Road facility we operate has about 18 acres on it right now. We're full there. We've been there 35 years. With 32 acres, we can serve this community for many years to come.
Danny, that's one question I had. How many years? You're building this facility for how long a period of time, you think, depending on...
This initial investment that I mentioned earlier will handle the load, I think, for the next 5 years. The two phases that we would like to do with the indoor pool, and you're going to hear a little bit later about a teen center, we'd love to see those built also with inside that five-year window. But as I mentioned earlier, you see that we have a lot of plans down the road and land that we can develop over time. But it's a facility that will be here for many decades. We've been in Augusta for 152 years. It's time to get a building like this built here.
Right. Yes. When would construction start?
Construction on the Phase 1 facility, we expect to start in May. We are in the final stages of all of our funding. Many people have donated to this, and we're going to bid this out in the month of April and should start pushing dirt the following month.
Can this be connected to USC Aiken Convocation Center in that area? Is it too far away?
We're going to beg those guys for some water, for one thing. But we are. It is very close. Across the street is where they built just the new 4-mile cross-country track. So it's a great location for us because we do feel like we can share some facilities there together, and we'll do that over the long term.
So it is adjacent, the land is adjacent then?
Directly across the street, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
For children in the community to use the pool, need they be members of the YMCA?
The answer is no. If you know about the way we're set up, we are a membership organization, but everything we do has a member and a non-member fee. We try to make sure those fees are very reasonable, and it's important also to know that everything we do, anything that has a fee attached to the Y, has a scholarship opportunity for people who can't afford it. And last year we gave about $1 million in scholarships away just in the CSRA. So a lot of people take advantage of that, and so you'll find very quickly that we are an organization that's open for all people.
Ben, can you tell us what your Augusta facility offers and how that would compare with what you plan to do with the Aiken facility?
You know, the facility, even though I told you there's 10 that we operate, the one that most people are familiar with is the one on Wheeler Road. That is a 70,000 square foot facility that's been there, as I mentioned, about 35 years. It was 28,000 square feet when we built it back in the early 80s. And with that, this is a 40,000 initial square foot investment plus a 5,000 square foot indoor walking track and then the outdoor pool that you saw behind it. So it will actually be the second largest facility we operate in the entire CSRA. And it's going to have wonderful amenities in it, as you would expect, a large wellness center, a great child care area, a lot of multi-purpose space in the YMCA that we can do different programs over the course of the day, a lot of outdoor space that we can kind of get kids outside and do things with them, partnership with 4 or 5 community groups that are already going to be in that building with us. So it's going to be a pretty special facility for us and certainly a great addition for the community.
How many staff members would you have, you think?
Currently, we have, in the entire area, about 650 people that are working for those 10 branches. In Aiken right now, you'll find that we operate that Hitchcock facility with 3 full-time people. and about 40 part-time staff. Moving into the new facility, we still don't have a large staff expected, but you will see that full-time staff double to around 6, and you'll see certainly the part-time people go up to over 100. You know, we employ a lot of seasonal staff, so you'll have a lot of young people we'll hire in the summer and different times of the year. They'll be able to get jobs in this building.
Anything else?
Yes, sir.
When, like you say, the fifth graders learn to swim over a two-week period, how do you arrange the financials? Does the school board actually pay you for that?
Yes, sir. We beg. I'm just kidding. Okay. Typically, a program like that is one that could get a lot of community support. We would ask for some corporate sponsorship of that program. There are some things we do operationally that we would fund part of those costs, and we would ask for some board support as well, Board of Education support. But pretty confident when you start to weigh out the benefits that we can find the money to run a program like this in this community. Good question.
Anything else? Okay. Danny, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Much. Appreciate the
That's
time.
Great.
The next project we have really is a separate project, but it's very much tied in this case with the YMCA. We have had a discussion over the number of years about our youth and whether or not it would be a good thing for our youth to have some kind of a facility that they could use for educational purposes, recreational purposes, and other needs. This committee has been meeting together for the last couple of years. Pete Frommer has been one of the founding individuals who's been meeting with them on a regular basis. They have come up with a program that is modeled off of another facility in Anderson, the city of Anderson, called the Galaxy Center up there. And they would like to come to talk to you tonight concerning how they can go ahead and partner this facility with the YMCA. So, do we have the representatives here? I didn't see Bill Jefferson. Is anybody else here? Well, since they're not here, we'll go to the next one, and hopefully Bill could be here by the time we finish up tonight. So the next area is the African American History, Art, and Cultural Center. The City of Aiken originally in 2004 discussed this facility and decided at that time to go ahead and help fund this facility with $360,000, which came from our accommodation tax funds. Also, although it's not connected with this facility, the City of Aiken did purchase the adjoining property, which is at the northeast corner of York and Richland, which used to be an old gas station and then a repair shop, which they are going to be working on in the next few months to go ahead and put in a park. But again, those are separate from one another. And what we have tonight is a discussion by, I believe that Reverend Doug Slaughter is going to go ahead and give a presentation concerning the Cultural Center on York Street, right near Richland Avenue. There he is.
No, I'm Reverend Doug Slaughter.
Hello, I'm Maggie Morehouse, and I'm a professor at the University of South Carolina, Aiken. And I've been involved with the African American Center since the very beginning, or at least since I first came to Aiken. I wasn't born in Aiken, but I got here as quick as I could. And when I got here, one of the things that I started to learn about is the rich history of African Americans in this county. Not that I particularly saw it in any places collected in books or in any other sorts of regular discussions, but as soon as I got involved with this committee for the African American Center, well, we started working together on all types of projects to try to bring about for people to understand the importance of African American history to the county of Aiken and to the city of Aiken. taken. And I believe you've seen our book. I hope each one of you have purchased one for your families. And this book that a committee pulled together was collecting all this rich history of African Americans in Aiken, the city, and in the county. And you know, we declared our independence as a county from Edgefield, that powerhouse, with our legislative branch at that time, who were mostly made up of African Americans. That sort of foresight to have us be a county separate than Edgefield and Barnwell, etc., comes about because our legislators thought at the time that this was an important function, and so it happened, and thus it happened. You can see in the book we've got collected many of those stories of those original founders of the county. And then you'll also see that we have collected stories from your neighbors, from my neighbors, about their experiences going to school in Aiken County, about their military experiences, about their religious experiences. But this history needs to be collected and continually needs to be collected. This is, of course, my field that I feel passionate about. But this history is important to us as a people. This is my history, even though I've just gotten here. This is your history, and this is our history that we need to have a facility that is not just stable kinds of museum types of things, which are wonderful, but you know, our young people don't learn like that anymore. They need interactive types of facilities. We have plans for this gorgeous building that you can drive by and see the outside, and once you walk into the inside, the educational experiences, the ways that you can feel as an individual like you're part of this county and this city and this town will just be wonderful for young people, and of course a place for the older people too to have their stories collected about this important history. This will be a place that we can, here it is, a place where we can learn and a place where we can share our stories. And while I'm not the really, Reverend Doug Slaughter will be here, and he's the cleanup act that will talk to you about the money. I just wanted to impress upon you my passions as a educator, that this will be a fantastic spot for my students to participate and go to, and for the rest of our community, where we have not had this history and this stories of Aiken told in the past or collected in the past. And I want you all, as my SETI representatives, to be part of this project. I hope I left you a minute.
Thanks, Dr. Morehouse. Now, I am Douglas Slaughter. I chair the executive board for the Center for African American History, Art, and Culture, and I'm privileged to pastor the Second Baptist Church. About 7 years ago, I stood in this very same spot for this very same presentation, shaking in my boots, honestly. And I guess I'm shaking a little bit tonight, but for different reasons. 7 years ago, I was shaking because I wanted to present a vision that was really very fragile. We didn't have any money. We didn't have a building. We didn't have a track record. We didn't have any visibility. And we had a lot of opposition. And we came to ask the city for to be represented on the 1 cent sales tax proposal. And because of opposition, we really withdrew it. And thanks to the city, they stepped up and supported the vision through giving us our first $360,000. And we applaud you in your belief in the vision and for what we've been able to accomplish because of that support. Today, I stand before you really excited because it's not only a vision, it is a reality and soon to be a completed reality. So far, we've purchased the building, thanks to the city's help, but we've also raised close to $1.2 million, $800,000 of which has been used to renovate, as you can see, what it used to look like, to renovate the exterior to its original beauty and to renovate the building that was in the back, which was a brick building. As a matter of fact, now this building has been designated as on the National Historical Register, and we're tremendously proud of that. One of the arguments that we heard 7 years ago is that we don't need another museum. And I agreed with that idea 1,000%, because nowhere in my vision did I believe we needed another museum. I wanted to create a center. And I like to think of the cultural center now. We want to do with history, social sciences, and art what Dr. Holman and USCA Aiken have been able to do with the Ruth Patrick Center in art and sciences. We want this to be an experiential laboratory, not only for the children in our community and the students at USC Aiken, but also for families to come in and literally experience the contributions that African American experience and learn about history through the contributions that African Americans have made, which are so numerous. I don't really have time to go through all of the contributions that African Americans have made, not only in Aiken County, but in South Carolina and these United States of America. And that the center will literally be a journey, an experiential journey, beginning literally in the culture of Africa up through the 21st century in the city of Aiken. Our accomplishments, we're going to be a program facility, which means we're going to put on concerts. We have educational programs. Our recent educational program was held at the Lloyd Kennedy School. We had a Black History program and workshops for students, and it was well attended. Over 100 students attended that educational center. We've brought in entertainers like Wynton Marsalis and the Count Basie Band, all of which is part of the vision of the center to enrich the community culturally and historically and artistically. We're here today to request that this year the city would include $1 million for the center in the 1 cent sales tax. I'm also excited because there are very few opportunities that citizens have the opportunity to have a voice in how their tax dollars is spent. And the 1 cent sales tax specifically comes directly from pennies that citizens pay when they buy. I thought you could get money from groceries too, but I understand that's not included anymore. But when they buy clothes and when they buy cars and all of the things that we buy, one penny goes towards the projects that they have in their hearts. And all of these people here, I hope most of them, all of them hopefully, are here to say... These individuals are not just individuals, but they represent churches, they represent businesses. I see doctors in the audience. I see fraternal organizations in the audience. I see civic leaders in the audience, all of which wanted to share with this council their support, not only tonight, but when the center is finished, their support for the development and the sustainability of this center. So we're excited about the opportunity that we have for you to support something directly through the Center for African American History, Art, and Culture that we believe in. And we know that when you come and experience the vision, you will have a greater sense of appreciation for what African Americans have contributed to South Carolina, and particularly this wonderful city that we call Aiken. I thought that the train depot, the railroad depot, was going to be before me, and I wouldn't have to say some things that I knew they were going to say, but I'm new to Aiken too, 17 years new, compared to some of the folk here who grew up here and were raised here. But we love Aiken, and we've always loved Aiken, but the thing that I know that has made Aiken great is that we've worked together, and when I say work together, public and private partnerships have been the way that Aiken has become the Aiken that so many people have come to call their their home through retirement. Without public-private partnerships, we would not have a Hitchcock Woods where persons who are interested in horse riding and fox hunting could go and ride their horses. If it weren't for public-private partnerships, there would be no community playhouse so that Carla could perform and Maggie could perform and some others could perform. If there were not public-private partnerships, there would be no Citizens Field. Now, I don't play baseball, but a lot of folk do. There would be no Citizens Field for our kids and for people who come in to play baseball. If it were not for public-private partnerships, the streetscapes and the sidewalks and the city lights that we enjoy would not be lining our streets, and the public parks would not be there. So we know that the way to keep a city strong and to keep it vibrant and to keep the community connected is to make sure that the city not only is concerned about new roads and drainage and those things that you really never experience until you have a traffic jam, but some things that are dear and near to people's hearts, like the Center for African American History, Art, and Culture. You should have a packet. Hopefully you do. I did want to bore you, but I'm going to bore you with this. We had over 300 individuals, corporate and individuals, along with some federal grants that all of our legislators, led by Representative William Clyburn, supported, some county support through their accommodations tax. We've raised close to $1.2 million for this project, and that all of the money that we've used has either gone to renovating and restoring the building, which was phase one of our vision, and now the $1 million will go towards the $2.2 million that we will need to complete the project. That $2.2 million will be spent in two phases. $800,000 will be used to finish the upstairs, to put in restrooms, to put in an elevator so that we can open the building even before we have the exhibit area completed. And that space will be used for programmatic offerings. It'll be available for rentings, for family reunions, for receptions downtown. And then the additional $1.4 million will be used to finish the design and the completion of the exhibits themselves. So your $1 million, along with our continual fundraising efforts and naming opportunities, and what we believe the county will continue to do to support this project, will allow us to have this project finished in the next couple of years. So we're counting on you to support our effort to create something that is going to be unique and important and special for not just the city of Aiken, but for Aiken County and for this state, and I believe for citizens from across the country. Questions?
Reverend Slaughter, you mind sharing the history of the building, what it was used prior to your acquisition of the property?
I thought Dr. Morehouse was going to talk a little bit more about it, but and any of us can. The building, when it was built in the late 1800s, was a school for the children of newly freed slaves. As a matter of fact, a couple of ladies gave, I think, $10 to support the building development. And since that time, it has been a school for Catholic kids and Episcopalian kids. It was the Jackson School. It's just a rich history. I really don't think I have enough time to talk about all the uses of the building, but that history will be captured in one of the exhibits that will focus on education in the building.
Reverend Slaughter, could you tell us how the county is playing in this as far as their promises on funding, and also at the state level?
Well, the state contributed a $250,000 grant, which we've already received and we have in the bank for phase two, which will begin to be used for phase two and phase three. The county contributed a little over $200,000 through accommodations tax, just as the city did over a period of 3 or 4 years, and I've had a verbal commitment that at least some of the county council members will are going to be supportive of the project as we move forward.
Very good. Okay. I think it's a great project. No doubt about that. I think all of these projects are great. I do want to say one more. I want to repeat something I said earlier, if I may, because a lot of the folks are not have come in since I said this, for what it's worth. And some of you know what I'm going to say. You know, the 1 cent sales tax, and everybody knows this that's familiar at all with the 1 cent sales tax, has been a great benefit to our city and county, for that matter. We've been able to do things that we otherwise would not have been able to do, unless you decide you want to raise property taxes, and we don't want to do that. So it's going to be very important, if any of these projects get funded, to have that 1 cent sales tax approved when the time comes. Now again, with the school bond issue on the horizon, we don't know what's going to happen there. And what happens there might also dictate to some degree what happens with the 1 cent sales tax. In other words, if it comes to pass, we may choose to do that in 2012, with the 1 cent sales tax, so that we don't get involved with two of these things at the same time. Now, I'm just telling you what I think, so I just want to tell everybody, while we would love to form, and again, this is my opinion, I'd love to be able to fund all of these projects. Because the things that you've said and others have said, our partnerships, there's no doubt about it. That's how we have done so well collectively in our city, to make our city a quality city and a character city and all those things, an all-American city, is by working together. No doubt about it. But a lot is going to depend on what each of us go out there and say about this 1 cent sales tax. You've seen some articles in the paper that have not been supportive of this 1 cent sales tax. And why? Don't tell me. I don't know. It's the same penny. It's not an additional penny. It's the same penny that we are missing right now, if you are missing it, in fact. Extended out, you know, another 7 years when the time comes to vote on it. Of course, the county has to decide whether or not it's even going to be voted on. City can't do that. County has to do that. And so they've got that decision they've got to make, you know, in working with and around the school district and what they're going to do. So I just want to say that because I want everybody to understand this. That's a fact as far as I'm concerned. This is factual stuff we're talking about. And these projects, all of them are great projects. You know, it's amazing just to listen to some of the more details that we didn't know, I didn't know, come out tonight. But I just felt like, you know, from my heart, we need to get that point across that if we don't have that money to do these projects, to pave roads, public safety facilities, you name it, things for our young people, the YMCA, all of these things. It's going to make a difference, a big difference, if we don't get that 1 cent sales tax.
So, Mayor, I hear you saying in order for us to be funded through the 1 cent sales tax, we need to vote for and approve the 1 cent sales tax.
You got it.
And I believe that many of the folk who are standing here today will support that. And if you need a show of hands... And as you look at the list of projects, there are a lot of other communities. Oh, those are the folk in the hall who couldn't get in here. If you look at the list of projects, it seems to me that the city has done an excellent job of trying to provide projects that will that are dear to the heart of many citizens from all sorts of backgrounds and experiences. And so if they feel as strongly about their projects as we feel about ours, then you'll have the 1 cent sales tax.
Questions. That's some. If there are other questions, if not, I'll sit down. Yes, sir.
Thank you for your presentation, and obviously a very good turnout for tonight. So we appreciate all the citizens coming out. What is the long range operation of this? Is it a foundation or a trust, or have y'all gotten that far yet? And how are you going to operate?
We did include a conservative annual operating budget for your perusal. It's very conservative, and not only on the expense side, but very conservative on how we're going to raise the money to support it. But there's a whole list of avenue streams that we believe we're going to be able to use through, to give you just a few, through memberships, through programming, through grant writing. There will be some things that we do that we'll ask for accommodations tax for because of the impact that it will make on tourism in the community. But for the most part, we will use income streams through corporate, individual giving, programmatic, rental, and you can see how we've kind of broken those out, if you'd like to.
Yes, is this all managed by a foundation y'all have set up or will set up in the future?
Presently, we are under the thank you. I knew y'all were going to help me. Of the Aiken Corporation. But after the project is finished, as far as developmentally, we will develop a 501c3 nonprofit. Because the focus is going to be education, we also feel very strongly that through the use of summer and after school programs, we'll have a pretty consistent income stream to help support the operations as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
And Mr. Mayor, if I may approach the bench, I have been instructed we have 24 other people in the hallway we would not allow in here because of fire codes. But they just want to let you know they're there, and they support the effort of the center.
We heard them. The last group, but not the least, Pastor Jefferson is here with Sharon Woods, and they would like to go ahead and talk to you about the Galaxy Project, which, again, like I said, although it's they're going to talk about it being attached to the YMCA, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but the group feels like there's a lot of advantages to it. So with that, Pastor Jefferson, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Or Sharon? Sharon, can you speak?
In the speaker. Name and address.
Get close. You got to speak in the mic. No one can hear you.
All right, I'm Pastor Jefferson, Full Gospel Praise and Deliverance Center. This is Sharon Woods, and she is indeed the project director for the Project Excel Youth and Program and the Career Counselor. And we come to present to you the particulars of the youth center that we are hoping to get started. Shall we just start?
Yes.
Okay. Basically, we wanted to explain why we needed a youth center, and there was a statement that I wanted to read that is in the handouts also that was saying that the important principle about it takes a village to raise a child needs to be updated. It takes a family, a community, businesses, schools, activities, peers, and media to raise today's children. In many cases, a faith congregation, youth group, or part-time jobs are part of the picture. All of these social systems will function within a larger society in the spirit of the times. What we begin to see in society is that there is a, especially in Aiken, there's a declining youth population here. Just through surveys that have been done, is that they basically find little or anything to do with their time. We have a lot of social organizations and agencies that do things, but there needs to be a concentric place whereby they can come together and find all the things that they need insofar as living a better life, getting involved in jobs, job training, social skills, and this is what the youth center we think will afford Aiken County. The greatest flaw, as we say here, is in dealing with young children is that most of the social systems that we have, they deal with these the problems as separate agencies whereby the connections are not made for the youth, it's not made for the agencies, and therefore a lot of the cases they wind up being counterproductive to what we're trying to do. Aiken has become such a wonderful place to live for many, but then there are many that are just lost insofar as knowing what to do, how to do, and where to find it. And we hope to have a place whereby they can come together and do this. We need a youth center in order that we can begin to pull these things together, to put it in a concentric place that people will be able to find exactly what they need, and an agency that actually literally goes out and comes in and gathers in people or finds ways of attracting them to a central place that will benefit not only the individuals but the city as a whole, you know, businesses as a whole, and just even the affordability of having access to medical facilities and social constituents that will enable the city to do a much better job in taking care of the people that are in the city. We have about 36,000, over 36,000 youth that are under the age of 18, and we know that we've been having a lot of problems, but we don't want it to be a merely at-risk agency. It's going to be an agency that's going to deal with those that are not only at risk, but it's going to be deal with all youth, all those that are have need of so many things. One thing I've noticed as even as a pastor is that, you know, the youth of our society today, the problems, they extend over the social and ethnic borderlines, and they go into all sorts of homes, no matter what the economic status of the home is. And these things need to be addressed. And the thing that brought me back to Aiken, as a matter of fact, from New York in 1983, was the fact that it was a place that I felt was a home that for me that was friendly and that was joined together. And then I began to see here that it was a lot of that was being lost and a lot of the being separation of society, separation of group, different ethnic groups. And I think this youth center will bring it back together. It will help it bring things in line insofar as helping people to reach out and touch each other and do things that need to be done in order to make it be a better society in Aiken. One of the questions is why would it be us rather than anybody else? I mean, we have other agencies. We have the Odell Weeks Center. We have Smith Hazel. We have other places. But there is not one place in Aiken that literally connects all the different agencies, such as the Teen Pregnancy Center and the other agencies that do things for the young people, youth as a whole. There's not one central place whereby they can come together and be able to not only do things that will help them insofar as their daily needs and their vocational needs, but also recreational needs. And there's just nothing that is attractive to them. They wind up spending a lot of time, as I said, doing nothing, because there is not that central agency that they can call their own. There's not that safe and secure place that they can come and feel safe insofar as having they're dealing with their daily lives. I know that you know, we see a lot of things and we think a lot of things about our youth and insofar as their behaviors and their attitudes, but in essence they also want a safe and a safe, secure place that they can come to and that they can call their own. And a lot of the things that we're instituting that we got from agencies such as the Fusion Center, they are attractive. They have about, what is it, about 7,000 membership of youth that are involved each and every day. When they open up the lines, they're lined up to get into the place because it's a place that they call their own. Did you want to?
No, we do know that these centers, we visited various centers. We went to Rock Hill, we went to Charlotte, we went to Anderson, and we are seeing that it's working in other communities with great success. And we do need a centralized place where the kids can come and they can be nurtured, supported, and a safe and structured environment where they can learn, where they can be taught as well as entertained at the same time.
One of the things that we're talking about is how are we going to sustain this over the long term. And one of the things is going to be a vast volunteer base organization, because we have the churches that are involved. We also are incorporating agencies such as the Aiken Regional Hospital, Aiken Tech, University of South Carolina at Aiken, agencies that will be able to come in and set up their own agencies there and adhere to the needs of the individuals. This is something that will, as I say, being that it is in a central location, it'll be something that people will know exactly where to go to get what they need. It'll also be a safe haven for the parents to know that their children are in a place whereby they it is secure, and we've joined together and partnered with the Y, and so therefore we have with the Y their history, their record, their administrative skills. They, in fact, are, it would be an institution whereby we would build the building and they would actually own it with a clause that it would go back to us if indeed they ever were not here. But it is, they would maintain the maintenance, the electricity, all the utilities, the liabilities insurance, even the insurance for the directors and the officers. And we've also have contacted such agencies as AmeriCorps and for grants, and United Way. We've sat down and we talked with them, and they're interested in coming in and doing some things. There are many areas that we've been contacting. I can't think of any right now. Even Clemson, we've been talking with Clemson. And we are indeed looking forward toward the future insofar as how we're going to sustain this and without simply depending upon the city. Pretty much that's it. Insofar as there we are, I did want to mention that we are hoping and believing that we're going to be able to partner with the businesses in the surrounding area, whereby we, through our training of the individuals that are involved there, they'll be trained there. We do have you can't see the diagrams even now, but getting Aiken Tech to set up auto shop, other types of shops, but these will train these individuals for jobs and make them more of a viable part of society, and hopefully get the businesses involved, whereby they will be able to employ these individuals, train them, and have a future stockpile of individuals that will no longer have to leave the city, because, as I said, we have a declining youth population here in Aiken simply because has been polled and found out, the youth are finding that there's nothing to do. They see Aiken as simply a retirement agency, a retirement state. And the thing of it is that things that we're doing here are going to incorporate the youth doing things with senior citizens, and therefore them becoming a more a better part of society in order to help make this a better city. And so I think there needs to be a joining of both areas of the axis, whereby the youth and the senior citizens can come together and become more familiar with one another. And I think this is going to make Aiken an even more beautiful place. I think that is pretty much it.
Pastor, would you talk a minute about the relationship with the Y? We've heard presentation by the Y this evening, and how are you going to be tied in with the YMCA?
Okay,
if that's what you're.
Yes, sir. The Y actually, I believe they sought us out. In fact, because we had already started trying to get the youth center started, and because they wanted to have access to the youth, and they were doing so many other things. The best thing of it is that we're already rooted in the community, and they come in with so many assets. But they are coming. Basically, they said whatever we need, they're willing to do, and so therefore, as I said, we would actually hopefully build a building, and they would come in and they would begin to take care of the maintenance and take care of the utilities and take care of whatever needs to be done, even helping in the security of the buildings. That would alleviate us from really a great financial burden, and it would. We have been talking with the head director and Robin Calicourt and Danny, thank you.
Danny.
And
right there, Danny.
There he is. and basically, we've come to some agreement, and some things are written up. They've donated the land, and also. We're building the building, but they are we're totally partnershiping together insofar as what we're going to do. And matter of fact, the things that they do and the things that they have insofar as the recreational areas, the pool, and all the other things we basically have aligned together to share these things, even the things that we have in the youth center. And there are that's part of what we're going to be doing insofar as the spaces that we have. I'm sure that there are going to be things that we have that are better for the size of what needs to be done insofar as outside activities coming in, and pretty much that's it.
So you have the land already?
Yes, sir. They've given us 15,000 square feet to build upon, and we're going to go from there.
Mr. Mayor.
Is that close to where you're building, or next?
It's attached.
It's attached. On the same properties.
Okay. And, I may have missed that early. I'm sorry.
My understanding, Matt, are you saying there's 32 acres of land? That's the Family Y campus. On that campus, you've been given some land to build your facility. So that's part of the campus. And the Y will help you to operate that campus as a Galaxy Center for children. What is the square footage of that facility that you plan to build?
15,000
square foot. So that campus, on that campus, that center can be used for multiple purposes. Is that not right?
Yes, ma'am.
What are the purposes it can be used for?
The other purposes that the Galaxy...
Yes, the Galaxy Center on the Family Y campus can...
We did have.
Are you using it 24 hours a day, 12 hours a day? What's the, how's it used?
It depends on the programs that's included into the center. Of course, if we're able to get continuing ed classes in, it would depend on the class. We will be renting certain rooms out if people need to come in and do birthday parties and other type of functions. And if someone wants to come in and maybe rent a space, and so that they can be included in the center, we will be able to do that too. So we'll be very functional in that we're trying to involve the whole community. And we know that there's a whole host of kids out there that are not in school and are not engaged. And if so, we would rather pull them in under a structured environment with good leadership skills and volunteers that can help them get to the next step and help. Because a lot of the kids say that they're bored, that there's no place to go, that they have no place to congregate. As we know back when I was younger, we used to go and have dances at Smith Hazel, and we used to be able to go to the parks and stuff like that. But things have changed a bit, and they need a lot of structure. We know that there's a lot of single households out there. We know that there's a lot of kids out there that need another place that they can go. And so we want to utilize this to bring a full range of services and make it like a youth city more than a youth center. And the other places that we've been, they have a credit union in there that teaches them how to manage their credit. They use a debit card. They work for the center, so they have ownership. They have cafeteria set up and other things, and the kids actually do the work in the center and help do the decorating, and so they're very much a part of the center. So we want to make this a community effort.
And one of the things we also had included was getting involved with the radio station so that they can actually have a means of developing skills insofar as cutting records, making records, doing the DJing or whatever. Also, we would talk with Trudy Boyd at Security Federal, and we are investigating that possibility of them coming in and perhaps setting up a bank whereby they would actually be able to learn skills insofar as banking and saving and other type of areas of finances. Also, as I said, Aiken Tech, we're investigating also them coming in and setting up a continuing ed class, an auto shop, USC Aiken, also insofar as sending in grad students and other students to come in and actually set up things insofar as helping the students in high school and in the other areas of dropouts or kickouts or whatever, that they will enable them to be better citizens, period.
So your belief is that you can service kids that are currently not being serviced in the places that we have right now?
If they will come, yes. Yeah. Get serviced.
Yes, and we do. We're going to be extremely aggressive about bringing them in insofar as and seeking them out and bringing them into this facility through not only recreational means but actually advertisement and let me just say this. I've spent most of my life in New York City, and I've been involved in a lot of things that I don't care to mention, but I know the areas that really appeal to the youth, and I play basketball with them all the time, as a matter of fact, at USC Aiken and Odell Weeks, and I communicate with them and find a lot of things, and Sharon has a lot of expertise in that area also through working with Project Excel, and there are things that we are doing and want to do that will aggressively come against these stigmas that they have against coming into any type of a structured facility in order to become better, and a lot of them have no hope. A lot of them, and I keep saying that it crosses the economic barriers because it's not just in the lower socioeconomic areas. It's in all the areas that children, youth are feeling basically like there's an end all. I mean, I'm amazed at the lack of a zealousness towards progressing in our youth today, and that's what we want to do. We want to target the youth and get them involved.
Ms. Woods, you say if they come, you'll service them. Are you going to set up some kind of a transportation system, a shuttle system? Because my understanding is your facility is going to be fairly remote from downtown. And
Yes, sir. In our partnership with the Y, that's another aspect that they bring, because they have buses that we can utilize. If we want to, if we can make the arrangements, we can bus them in. I also have hopes of working with the school district. Maybe they'll make it a drop-off stop for one of the school buses. Or if we have special things going on, then maybe they can help us to get in. We have maybe public transportation, personal cars. You know, if it's a place that they want to come,
they'll get the final one.
And it's in a pretty central, in the locale, we want to not only reach Aiken, but we've got Graniteville, we've got the Valley. If we can get kids in from Wagner and Ridge Spring, if we have special occasions where they can come in and they can be bused in, but we want to make Aiken County a part of this youth center.
And we also have the faith-based organizations that also have buses and their youth coming also from there. And that, like I said, that's a great asset that we have as far as what we're doing is basically we're using all aspects of our society. We have in the Galaxy Youth Center, we have people from the faith-based churches. We have people from the different agencies and different organizations. We have DJJ on the board. I mean, we have different agencies that bring in a plethora of just social skills and social morality that will really reach out, and even in their coming there will be such a progression of the change of even the attitudes simply by being around people that have a positive attitude and really simply just care about you. This is what our life is what my, and so therefore I think that we would be a great asset to Aiken as a whole.
And Fusion Warehouse in Anderson, the director says that when the kids congregate there, that crime actually falls. And so the community is very much on board with helping them stay on. And so what he even did was develop an area whereby parents who want to volunteer, but they say, I don't have anyone to keep my kids. So he developed an area where they can bring their kids, and then they can volunteer at the same time. So it is a community effort. When companies go out of business, they donate everything that they have. They've got like 200 televisions that's just hotels give them and things like that, and they have them playing simultaneously that has, you know, good and educational things that they can watch. We've really seen it thrive in other areas. As a matter of fact, the one in Anderson has franchised out into other areas because they've been so successful.
And that is one thing that we wanted to tap into also, even the things such as they were doing in Anderson, whereby they tapped into the hospitals and places like Savannah Riverside, which we would be interested in for us, that have taken their old equipment and donated it to such an organization as this. And so therefore there were computers and all types of different type of equipment that was available because basically, you know, I know myself from working at Savannah Riverside that many of you have also, that there are so many things, so much equipment that they have that they basically just sell at a minimal price, and I believe they would be willing to donate these things, hopefully. And let me not leave off the fact we even have on our board Chief insofar as the public safety, and he's a go-getter for it. And I just say that, you know, with these different elements together, I think that this thing can do nothing else but work.
Pastor, we all know that it's important too to get to the kids and help them learn character and all those kind of things at an early age as well. But the Salvation Army, and I'm sure you're aware of this, they have the Boys and Girls Club.
Yes, sir.
The Salvation Army. Have you talked with them? Primarily, I think they're middle school, pretty much middle school kids. Now, can you work the smaller, the younger kids in with the teenagers?
Yes, that is definitely something that we are definitely geared towards, because we want to have a daycare center in there also, and we also want to deal. I've talked to one person from the Salvation Army, and he was feeling like perhaps, you know, they could do what we're going to do, but in essence, it would not be on the same scale, but in collaboration, I think it could be an awesome thing. And that's where I believe the real key to our being successful is in collaboration, partnership, and coming together with these other agencies. And by no means are we trying to reinvent the wheel. We're simply trying to gather the agencies together, and Salvation Army being one of those most definitely. And there are things that we feel like with the agencies that we're getting involved, such as you say, Salvation Army, USC Aiken, there will be definitely affordability for reaching out to these young, because like you say, if you don't get them when they're young, then it's pretty, very difficult to get them when they get at a later age. And yes, sir, we definitely are. And even in that collaboration, we talk about the youth and the senior citizens, that there could be a great collaboration between the very young and the senior citizens also.
You're right. Well, we've talked about that. I'm on the board, advisory board, as Chancellor Hallman is, and perhaps others here might be on the same, the Salvation Army board. We've talked about that, as you mentioned,
yes, sir,
for some time. And they'll have anywhere from 40 to 60 to 70 kids over there after school. Mm-hmm. You know, and the things that the Boys Girls Club is doing is amazing. With the study period, mainly study periods, they've got computers and that kind of thing. But I do need some help and a collaboration between with them, and what you're talking about and the why is fantastic, I think. And as long as we try to include all of these kids that we can,
yes, sir,
you know, at ages.
Yes, sir. And that's what our goal is.
Because if you don't get them in the earlier ages, it's mighty hard after a while, you know, after they get a little bit older.
I've heard that by the time a child is 7-8 years old, they're about 78% of their personality is already formed. By the time they're 12, is 98%. So
right.
You're right. If you don't get them while they're young, they're lost. But
yeah, well,
very difficult.
You never give up. You always have hope. But certainly, if we need anything in the city or in the county, I think it's this kind of a thing, where we're getting the kids and we're trying to train them as much as we can and give them things to do, good things to do. Citizens Park, for instance, has been a wonderful thing.
Yes,
you know, for the kids, all those folks out there playing soccer and what have you, and getting them. They're not doing something else, in other words.
Amen.
That would be worse, much worse.
What is, sorry, go ahead, Beverly. I just have a couple of questions. One is that, are you asking to be a part of the 1 cent sales tax? And if so, for how much are you asking for your on the line for your project?
Yes, indeed, we are. And we are hoping to receive $1 million.
So you're asking for $1 million.
This is a question maybe either for Pastor Jefferson or Mr. Ledoux. As far as the operation and the funding of this being joint with the YMCA is not an issue, is it?
Basically, when we asked our city attorney to give us his opinion, as long as the projects that we're working on would be something that the city would be doing themselves in turn, where they're giving money to another agency like the YMCA, instead of us again building a pool or building a recreational center on the north side, we'd be working with the YMCA. It's an advantage to the city because then we do not need to go ahead and look at long-term staffing needs. The same thing with the youth center. We looked at several different locations inside the city of Aiken. There's the advantage of it. It's very convenient to the individuals that live in and around that area, but there may be individuals from outside the city, say that live in the Valley or Jackson or New Wellington, and they would see this as a city facility, not a community facility. That's why in working with the youth center, it seemed like there's all kinds of advantages in working with the YMCA. Number one, when you walk through the doors, they don't have to have an individual at the doorway because the YMCA has someone there. They could limit the space that they have. They have a description over here of the size. They could limit it to 15,000 square feet, where the one up in Anderson is closer to 40,000 square feet because there's meeting space, there's recreational space, gymnasium space, and other space that the YMCA has that they could cross-utilize throughout the day. But yes, the answer is we could go ahead and take our funds, just like we did with the Convocation Center previously, and use those for outside areas that are going to benefit us as a community.
Hey, Pastor Jefferson, I worked with these in other cities, and I'm very in favor of something like this being built. Just want to be sure we all get in. We're working together and want to keep it going that way. So thank you for your presentation tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Pastor Jefferson.
Yes. You're back up here.
Okay.
Right here.
Another comment.
Beverly. The mic.
Yes, ma'am.
I did have a second question, and that is, do you plan to go to the county to ask them for help with this project as well, since you're going out into the other areas?
Yes, most certainly we are going to approach the county. I had got some idea that perhaps they were involved in things that are already going on, but I'm not going to let that dissuade me. I'm going to approach them also. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
The question that I have, Reverend Jefferson, yes, dealt with the school system and keeping our children off the front page of the newspaper.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you entered into, or have you talked with the school district about a proactive method of getting involved with those kids when they can identify these kids very early on that may become a problem later on, and to avoid getting them out of, keeping them out of trouble? Do you have a relationship with somebody on your board from the school district that can help to advise and to help that relationship with the school district?
Sharon Wood actually has been talking to...
Here she comes now.
Yes, I just had an in-depth conversation with Dr. Ishmael, that's the director over the adult ed for Aiken County, and she is very, very in favor of the project and willing to go with me to the superintendents to present the project to them.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Are there any comments or questions lingering here with anyone?
I just have two questions. The total amount of money that the city is going to end up asking, you've got a footnote to the list that we have that estimates $37 million. Can I assume that you've looked at what we collected, let's say, in 2009 and multiplied it times 7?
Actually what I did is I took the 2008 receipts that we received, put a 3% inflationary value on it through 2019, and came up with that number. Actually, I came up with around $42 million, but then I took about a little over 10% off because of groceries.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, all right. And the other question is, not having been through the process, many of the presenters talked about combining requests from the city and the county. As a matter of courtesy, do we work with the county where we might have our tentative list and some optional selections that we may make, and get a tentative list from them with some of their options that they might make? Some of these presentations really need support from both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it would be almost, it wouldn't be wise, let's put it this way, for one agency, the county or the city, to support and the other did not. How has that worked in the past?
First of all, the way the final list is prepared and that goes before the voters is, this is led totally by the county of Aiken. The county has in the past selected three individuals at large that represent the county. They then have asked the municipalities to select three individuals. The city of Aiken will be selecting an individual to sit on this committee. North Augusta will select an individual, and then all the other cities at large within Aiken County will select a third individual. Those six individuals will sit down collectively, look at all the projects that have been presented to them by the smaller communities, the County of Aiken, City of Aiken, and North Augusta.
look at the funding that's available, and develop a final list. The way it has worked in the past is we have sent this committee a listing of projects that add up to approximately what we believe we'll be receiving over that 7-year period of time. They have the liberty of adding to it, taking away from this, or keeping it the way it is. The first two referendum packages, they have kept our list the way we have presented it to them, and in fact they added a few other projects on to this list in case additional funding would become available. So they will see, if we say that we're going to support the SPCA, they will see that we're supporting it and how much we would like to see on the referendum ballot using City of Aiken money. They would see the YMCA, they would see the African American History, Art, and Cultural Center, or all these other projects that will be given to them. Meanwhile, the county is going to be giving them some of the same projects. We are going to be submitting to them some transportation improvement projects. For instance, that we're listing right now University Parkway widening. That would be between the hospital and the university. We're looking at the Hitchcock Parkway going from Highway 1 back towards Pine Log Silver Bluff Road. We're hoping that the county will also take that, and they will be adding a certain percentage of their money, because a joint resolution was passed a couple of years ago saying that 30% of the funds from the county, North Augusta, and Aiken would go towards major transportation improvements within the entire community of our county. So there will be this melding together by the committee. They generally work on this over several meeting period of time during the months of April and May, and more than likely in June. They'll be bringing this back to Aiken County. Aiken County then takes the list. They have to go ahead and pass a referendum ordinance. That referendum ordinance takes 3 readings. Once they approve that, they set the date, they set the projects, that would then go before the voters. Now, this list or the referendum typically in the past has been on a major election day. The legislation has changed last year to our knowledge, and it may be that they choose a different day. And again, that's going to be up to Aiken County once they get this list as to when it will go on the ballot for the voters to look at. It's the voters, it's a yes or no. It's not let's pick and choose different projects. They either vote for it 100% or they disapprove it 100%. But there will be that opportunity, and during that 2-month period of time that this committee is looking at it, we will have an opportunity to go in there. I've gone into the meetings in the past to represent the city. Council members could go there. These are open meetings to say why we're doing what we're doing and how that's going to support not just the city of Aiken, but the community of Aiken. Because let's, as the mayor said earlier, the dollars come in not only from city residents, but county residents and residents outside our county and outside of our state. So we do look at many of these projects, not just City of Aiken projects, but community-wide projects that support everybody.
And I think just adding to what the mayor said earlier, and from a comment I read in the Aiken Standard, that Clay Killian, I think, is considering not doing this this penny sales tax option in November, out of concern that we may be asking the citizens for too much money if the school board goes on for over $200 million and we're on with everybody else for over $100 million. But the county, as I understand it, makes the final decision on the date of the election.
That is correct.
And when will they normally make that?
In the last couple of times, the first time we got started very late. We didn't get started till the end of June, even talking about what projects. And so they passed their referendum question or ordinance in August of 2000. This past time, I believe it went to them in June of 2004, and they finally approved everything in July. About that, let's just say summer time, and that's what we're anticipating this year, that sometime early to midsummer the decisions would be made.
Thank you.
The only thing that I would ask council would be we do need to set a follow-up date when we could go ahead and discuss the projects that you heard tonight along with the city projects, allow any other comments that other citizens may have, to answer any questions you have. You may even have some other projects that if you did want to include in the list, we could. One of the projects that we discussed when we were on a retreat was the fact that we have set aside some money in our current one-cent sales tax, $1 million, to hopefully purchase the property the school district owns at the southwest corner of Morgan and Edgefield. That's the old district offices. It's now the maintenance facilities. And at that time, in 2004, we were thinking that we'd build a potential youth recreation type center there. If you all choose to support what Ms. Woods and Pastor Jefferson proposed tonight, then that money could be used instead to move over to support that facility in the YMCA. We'd probably still have $500,000 there to remove the buildings and make that an open or clear space. And we're right now talking to the school district, in fact, meeting with them on Friday to discuss some possible options for their, where they could move their maintenance facility at, so that we could go ahead and acquire that land. But it, to me, it would be either or in our decision-making or council's decision-making process.
Rod, are we also talking with the school district regarding when they plan to have their local their bond referendum with the 220 some odd million?
That is a discussion that we're trying to get a little bit better handle. They first of all need to make a decision: are they going to go forward with this referendum or not? It appears that they probably are strongly considering that right now. Once they make that decision, then we could see what dates that they're looking at.
Okay.
Right now, we could do this on March 15th. That's an open Monday night. You do have a council meeting on the 8th and the 22nd of March. If the 15th is a good date, we could go ahead and schedule our public hearing on this. To discuss these projects with the idea that in the following week we would then do a formal vote on the project list. Or we could choose another date should council desire.
What time would that be on the 15th?
Again, that would be up to city council to make that decision. We could do it just like we did tonight, where we do it right early on. It seemed to work well that way.
Well, we had a full room.
How about the 15th of March?
Okay.
That suit everyone?
Mr. Ledoux, does this go through just one reading and a vote, or does it have to go through two?
Just one reading. Again, that's why I'm proposing on the 15th we have a public meeting. This was an informational meeting where you're getting information on these, so that over this next 4 weeks you could digest that information. I'm sure citizens and others will give you additional thoughts on these projects. And then on March 15th, that would be a meeting that would be open to the public and for you to discuss the list that we'll give you with hopefully a much more accurate number. Councilmember DeWire was asking, is it $37 million, $37 million? Well, that may change. It may be a little higher, or maybe a little bit lower on that one. We'll give you an exact number at that time. And we'll also give you some priority on some of these projects. The last time in 2004, we actually gave you a priority listing. You know, like let's just say there's 30 projects, we'd then list them in some priority so that if, at least from our standpoint, staff standpoint, if there's a project you want to delete or you may come to us with some other projects you even want to add to, at least you would see from our staffing point what we think are our priorities.
And do we vote line item by line item?
No. Last time you just went ahead and looked at the list, had some great discussion on those items that were on the list. You took some off, you added some to it at the last meeting, and then you'll vote it as a group. I mean, we could vote it line item by line item if that's how council desires. We'll try to give you something that you could go ahead and at least give you a starting point.
Are there any more projects that we might hear or are these the ones that we're restricted to?
Excellent question. No, we have given you the listing from the city staff that we know of as of right now. I've tried to get the words out to as many individuals as I could as to potential other projects, and I believe everything that you have received to date is what we anticipate at this point in time.
Thank you.
And so March 15th will be the vote on what we'll submit to county?
No. March 15th will be a public hearing meeting, and for council to decide, is this the list we want to take to a vote the following Monday?
Okay.
Roger, I'd like to say one thing about the following Monday. I'm not sure that gives us enough time because we don't know what we will hear when we have a public meeting. There may be some questions we have to get information on. There may be some new projects that we have to look into. I think that's a rather short period of time, 1 week,
then we,
after going public.
We probably then need to hold our meeting earlier. County would like to go ahead and get a list in April, and our first meeting in April falls on the 12th, and so we are hoping on having the list prepared and ready to give it to them the first part of April. I could ask if they could wait till the 12th, or we could try to go ahead and hold a meeting prior to the 15th.
It's up to council to decide. I think that's a little rush because we don't know what we might hear, and I don't think we need to appear that we're rushing this thing after a public meeting, especially if we get input on other projects or something. We may not get any input, but suppose we do. Suppose there are some good sounding projects to us, but yet we need more time than just 7 days or 6 days, whatever it may be, to find out something.
If you're in a hurry, I might suggest, I might suggest March 1st, if that works. That would give us 2 weeks between having a meeting and the council meeting on... No, our council meeting in March is the 8th and the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. That'll be 3 weeks then.
Yeah. Yeah, that would give us 3 weeks because you wanted to do it on the 22nd. So if we met, I don't know how that works out for other council members.
Do you have enough time to get that ready?
I could have this prepared within just a few days. I mean, our list is basically complete right now.
Yeah.
I was going to comment that we're dealing with the same list that we discussed in Horizon. That list has not changed, and I don't know how many we'll have between now and when Roger is getting the meeting. But that list has not changed
at all.
Well,
it has added. Leslie, we did not have USCA on our list at Horizons.
That's the only
yes, we did.
One.
Yeah.
Well, what we did also have is what we're having a public meeting, so there may be something that comes forth from
sure.
that public meeting that we don't know about. All I'm saying is if there is and we do need more time, that doesn't give us much time necessarily. We don't know.
Well, will the first give you more
the
time?
The first, I think
time?
The first would be fine.
Okay.
The only thing that I'd ask on the 1st of March, I already have a meeting scheduled at 6 p.m. that night.
For who?
It's
not council.
No, I already have it.
Okay.
That if we did, could we start at 7 o'clock that evening on March 1st?
Fine with me.
Yeah, start at 7 versus starting like we did tonight at 5.
Fine with me.
7 o'clock on the 1st then?
Okay.
Sounds good.
Mr. Mayor, may I address the audience for just a second?
You certainly may.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm really appreciative of the size of the crowd and the enthusiasm of the crowd that's here tonight. And I know you're excited about making sure that your project gets on the ballot for the 1 cent sales tax. But I think you have some work that you need to do between now and then, and that is that you've got to make sure that you at least let the county know how you feel and what it is you want. And also, in between now and then, you may want to impress upon the citizens how important it is that they do vote when the time comes for this to be on the ballot. We are not deciding whether you go on the ballot or not. The county will probably decide, will make that ultimate decision. We're deciding whether you go on our list, and that will probably come up on the 22nd, it looks like, from the discussion here just a minute ago. So you need to keep that date in mind, the 22nd, but you also need to keep in mind that you must speak with the county and let them know how you feel. You need to make sure that you get those dates for their meetings, their public meetings, and that you attend those as well. I don't want you to feel that it rests entirely with us. And your support here tonight is great, but you need to take this a little further and a few more times. And I think, Reverend, I think your minister will let you know, your ministers will let you know when that time comes and where you need to show up. And I think that goes for the SPCA, a project I'd like really like to see you get off the ground in the Y. So I just think you have some work ahead of you. And if you can show up with the same enthusiasm you did tonight, I think you're going to be fine.
Let me just say thank you again on behalf of council. This has been a wonderful meeting. It's been very informative and educational. And we thank you very much for coming out and sharing your thoughts and the projects with us. Thank you very much. We adjourn.